with content creation, with social media. You know, if you do it correctly, the social proof is already there. People are like, dude, shut the fuck up. We already know this. Just will you listen to me so I can tell you what I would like to get out of this project?
Do you feel you should be further along in your contracting business? Are you tired of not making the money that you know that you're worth? Or maybe you're winning, but you just want to win at a higher level. I'm Tom Reber, and this is the Contractor Fight. Turn this shit up and get ready to earn more respect, earn more money, and be a better leader in your business. Oh, and P.S., this show is not for thin-skinned people. If you offend easily or have a victim mentality, you should probably just move the fuck on right now. Let's go. Hey, fighters. Today, I'm excited to bring my buddy Eric Triplett onto the podcast. He's also known as the Pond Digger. He's kind of a big deal in the water feature world. I brought him on because he's done and is doing some pretty cool things with social media and building his brand that I think are worth hearing. He's just got a perspective on it that has served him well. And I just resonate with the way he plays the long game with this stuff. And so Eric and I get into a little bit of the nitty gritty and why it's important that you invest in this stuff and build your brand. We talk a little bit about his recent accomplishment in our Contractor Sales Academy, which is pretty cool. Been game changing for him and a lot of the people that he's working with and stuff like that. So anyway, without further ado, here's my buddy, the Pond Digger, Eric Triplett. Eric, AKA the Pond Digger. What the heck's going on, man?
What's happening, Tom?
Living the dream here. It's a Monday morning in Colorado. It's probably the same Monday morning in California is my guess.
Yeah.
That's how it works. We tried to make this happen a while ago, and then schedules got crazy. And then we just never got it done. And then recently we said, screw it, we're going to make this happen. So, dude, I'm excited to have you here, man. Met you in person. I think it was at that Oklahoma City event.
Yeah.
Way back in the day, a pond event there. What is it, a Water Garden something?
Yeah, Water Garden Expo.
Water Garden Expo. Yeah, met you there. We were doing a Contractor Sales Academy presentation, I guess, if you want to call it that. Anyway, and you were presenting on like social media and stuff and using it to grow your business, if I recall.
That's correct.
And but unfortunately, I couldn't go in your session because ours was like at the same time. So
right. Maybe that's why my session was so empty while everyone's at your place instead of mine.
I think it was the other way around, man. Yeah, I was like, ah, shit, we're up against him. So, yeah, that's the competitor in me, right? It's like, oh, man, you know, I want to. But anyway, so, dude, you know, I shared a little bit in the intro, not a whole lot, but give us the 30,000-foot view of you. How'd you get into what you're doing? Share with people kind of where you're at and your secret sauce, man. I've never asked that before. I want to know your secret sauce to you being in the game so long and competing at a high level and winning, man.
All right. Well, that's a lot. That's a lot to take on because, you know, I've been doing it for 20 years. In a nutshell, you know, I'm fascinated with fish, underwater, you know, underwater aquatic stuff, you know, like from turtles and frogs and, you know, newts, anything that lives in the water. And so, you know, I got fascinated with that stuff at an early age, 19, and I was doing something else and I was a carpenter for quite a while. And I just didn't see myself being a carpenter when I was 60. And I don't know how I had that foresight at such a young age, but in my early 20s, I decided to, you know, throw away my career as a carpenter and become a fish geek that got paid to do it. And so that's how I got into what I'm doing, right? It wasn't a landscape contractor that decided that he could make a lot of money building ponds. And right. So I shifted gears. It's really what I love to do. And I think that's partly why I've been in the game so long. Like you mentioned, like how can you be in the game so long? It's just because I really love what I do. And even through all the trials and tribulations and, you know, the ups and downs in economy and, you know, the brutality of running your own business and, you know, employees and all that shit. It just, you know, I love doing what I do, and that's why I'm still in the game.
So, you know, you talk about the brutality of it. And actually, well, let me go back. I didn't know that you were a carpenter. See, I just learned something.
Yeah.
Were you a good carpenter?
I was badass. I'm not going to bullshit. I mean,
oh man, listen,
I was a framer. So at an early age, by the time I was 23, I was running crews of 60-year-old men. And that's really the turning point for me, because at such a young age, I was running crews, you know, doing, we were putting up roofs and soffits and all this stuff. And, you know, here I am, some young buck, you know, long hair halfway down my back, you know, wearing tool bags all day long, no shirt on, just running the show, you know. And these 60-year-old men, you know, they weren't cool with it, you know, but I drove them and I pushed them. And I was like, man, I can just see myself being 60 in the same position, you know, being ran through life, you know, getting old, getting tired. And then the young buck comes in and bosses me around. I'm not down for that. And so just that experience, you know, got me to like shift my mind. And I just don't, I'm so thankful that I had the wherewithal to think like that at such a young age. So
that is pretty cool. As you were talking about being a framer. So I'm going to go back to my, I got out of the Marines and I went to work, for a while working for my uncle. He's a painting contractor, and we'd do all these new construction homes and stuff. And I remember this framing crew, man. There was this guy, and this is back in, this has been the early to mid 90s, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And there was this guy who led this framing crew, and he was like, and here's just me being like envious, right? He was like in shape. He had this cool, like, rock star long hair, you know, he had cool sunglasses on, you know, and I just remember watching him and his crew, like, they're like bounding across the beams on the house as they're framing, and the music's cranked, and I'm like, man, they're having fun. Those guys are so cool. I was like, I thought it was the coolest thing.
They're literally describing what I was doing. I'm telling you, that's exactly what I was doing at that time. And I would bust my ass all day on the crew, and then I would go surfing at night. And like, it was an awesome lifestyle.
Yeah, this guy I'm thinking of, dude, he would have totally fit into like the surfing community, like, you know. And I just, it's just so funny. I think because I was playing in a band at the time, I played drums, and yep. And the joke is always that I've never been able to grow long hair. So I'm like, and I think I was so envious because he looked like this fucking rock star framing a house. And I'm like, man, I want to be like that someday.
Probably in a rock band. I was in a band too, believe it or not, back then. I played guitar.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I think one day we asked him, we're like, one of the guys in my crew or something asked him if he played in a band or something. He's like, no, I don't play any instruments or whatever. I'm like, fuck, what a waste.
Yeah, no shit, huh?
And anyway, man. So you're a badass carpenter, but you followed what was digging at your heart. Sounds like the thing that you were most passionate about, which sounds pretty like it's worked out pretty well for you.
Yeah, but it was hard in the beginning. I'm telling you, I took a huge, huge hit in money. I'll tell you that in the beginning. You know, I was making pretty decent money, and I just went from making great money to, like, you know, figuring out how to eat, you know?
Yeah. All right. So earlier you talked about the grind of this and, you know, just getting your face bashed in as a business owner. Cause I think anyone that's in business that didn't have like a big ass pile of money behind them, right? You know what I mean? If you got to bootstrap this thing, whatever you know, those people they're listening right now, they know that you grind for the success that you have, and you have a lot of ups and downs and things like that. And I think personally, we make this kind of where we're going today with this. I think contractors make this way harder on themselves because they don't embrace the marketing game. They don't, you know, we know the craft. We're in, like you know, you're into the fish and all that cool stuff. But at some point, we got to learn how to get some eyeballs on the business, how to market to people, how to build relationships, how to be top of mind, all these things that, you know, we've always talked about. So I'm just curious when, you know, you do a pretty solid job, man, of getting eyeballs to your business and what you do and stuff. Where did that come from? Where did it start? Was there a time that, you know, the light bulb went off, or how have you been able to do that when so many struggle with it?
Well, I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that I came up in aquascape era, you know, when Pons really exploded onto the marketplace. And I spent a lot of time at Aquascape Designs in early on days, you know, and, you know, that company's done a extremely well job at marketing as well. And so being around that and being able to participate with ideas and sharing things and then applying things from other contractors, maybe in a different state, and applying those things into my marketplace, you know, it just, I was somehow it fell into place and worked out well for me. So, you know, from the early on in my career, I was going to put a pond at a nursery. And then I talked to the nursery owner and said, hey, can I do it on a big day? So I'm going to invite some people. I'm going to put an ad in the paper. I'm going to, you know, can we do an email list to your database? And, you know, shit, 100 people showed up that day. I couldn't believe it. And so I really saw the power of making that happen. I just executed on what I heard was working in other places. And early on, I saw how powerful it was. So, I mean, that first, you know, Build a Pond Day that I hosted in my, you know, in my community, you know, 100 plus people show up to the event, watch me build this pond. And, you know, I got $40,000 of the business that day. I mean, that day, you know, people signed up to go to, you know, come and work for me, you know? So, you know, that I got the proof right away, and I knew it couldn't be ignored.
You know, I'm on your YouTube channel now. You got over 100,000+ subscribers. You know, you got Instagram, you got a lot of eyeballs, you're all over the place. And one of the things that you and I are similar in some ways, and I think we do well, and I know a lot of people struggle with this in their marketing, is you and I think do a pretty good job of just being ourselves, you know, in a little bit. You know, I get a lot of really nice things sent to me all the time, like you're a fucking asshole, Tom, and things like that. And and what do you tell the guy that like is wanting to market his business a little bit and be a little more out front, but he might be afraid of just what people are going to think and stuff? Because I hear that all the time from people. Like, I want to be professional, or I want to be this. Like, how have you approached that whole thing?
You know, I really don't care what people think. I really don't. But at the same time, I do. At the same time, it's weird. But you know, I just got to go out there. I know that the content that I provide and the information that I have, just because I am so passionate about what I love, that, you know, when I share it with people, a lot of people appreciate that, and they take the advice and they apply it to their own pond, and then they tell me it's been good for them. So, you know, I love that aspect of it, and I can pretty much ignore the people that you know, that are keyboard warriors and want to be jackasses on there. I mean, I just ignore that stuff.
This whole social media thing, it'll camp on that for a minute. What are some ways that it's just kind of helped you locally? Do you know what I mean? A lot of people, people are like, Tom, I'm going to do all this shit on YouTube and all this other stuff and whatever, you know, but I don't want to get a customer 8,000 miles away or whatever, you know? I'm just curious how your business has grown stronger as a result of what you're doing. Like, what does it do for your brand locally?
Well, I mean, you know, in my approach, I am trying to teach people how to do the stuff, you know, when I was learning how to do stuff, and I'm talking about ponds specifically, or fish or waterfalls. Yeah. So I'm trying to share, you know, my passion with people. It's because of what I like to do. And, in doing so, you just build trust, you know, like, hey, this guy's teaching his secrets. He wants, you know, people to get better. And, you know, the people that can actually afford to pay you to do that work, they realize that, hey, this guy loves what he's doing. He's giving the information away to people. And so it just builds trust. So, I mean, if you can get someone 8,000 miles away to like see you, I mean, or someone in Belize and someone in India, you know how many people hit me up from India. Hey, I wish you were in India. I'd have you build my pond. I mean, it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And so when you start to build trust with the world, and, you know, it just, the microscope gets smaller and smaller, and it hits at you in your community. And the harder you work at it, you know, the more people in your community find it. And they're so grateful that, you know, you're actually in their area. They're like, I can't believe I was watching your YouTube video, and I thought, wow, this guy's, you know, really putting it out there. I wish he was, you know, close enough to help me. And then they Google me and they're like, holy shit, he's, you know, 15 miles away. I'm calling him. And it's just like super powerful.
Well, you know, it's funny, if I'm on your channel, and I guess this is where I'd love to get your take on what advice you'd give guys who are like, man, I want to start doing some video and shit like that. But they struggle with topics and the content, and they're like, well, nobody wants to know this shit. And, and I always tell guys all the time, I'm like, you know, in every industry, there is stuff that people want to know. And you nailed it. You know, you're positioning yourself as the expert here. And when you, you know, so my goal has always been whatever business I'm ever a part of or I ever own or whatever. And this is a huge task. So it's, you know, but I want to be that type of business where if anyone ever types in anything about that industry whatsoever, they can't help but find me right away. Like that's just been my big goal. So if you're a painting contractor, if somebody's going, what's the best type of brush to use? And they're asking Google, you got to be answering that question. You know, I'm looking at your channel right now. Like how many gallons of water in your pond? You know what I mean? Like these are things, you know, three things the blue heron knows about your pond. You had one about baby turtles hatching, which, you know, got 14 million views or some shit like that. So it's like, what do you, because I know there's a ton of contractors right now that don't get this whole video game. So what do you tell them about coming up with a plan or creating content and, you know, things like that?
I mean, listen, I mean, I learned early on, you know, 15, 18 years ago that content is king. I mean, it still applies today. Content is king. So, you know, I'll get on a blog mission and, you know, of course I'm inspired by Gary Vaynerchuk in a big way. And, you know, early on I would do like a live broadcast on Periscope. You know, like does anyone even remember Periscope? I would do a live broadcast on Periscope and it would be like the three things that, you know, the heron knows about your pond that you don't. Mm-hmm. And then I would do the live broadcast, you know, my wife would listen to it and she would take notes, or I'd give her the summary of the live broadcast. She would take notes. She'd bang out a blog. And then I'd jump on YouTube and I'd do, you know, I would do it a lot. I would do it on YouTube, you know, in our Ask the Pond Digger forum. Right. And then I would hit the internet with a blog. I'd had my live broadcast and then I'd do the, you know, the YouTube video. And this is, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever. And, you know, it's crazy because I get tons of hits on YouTube. And then someone will come in and go, hey, I was reading your blog the other day about the heron. And I just I came in to talk to you about it. I'll be like, you actually read the blog? They're like, yeah, the blogs are awesome. I read them all. I'm like, holy shit. I thought no one read that stuff. You know, but I was just putting the content out there. So, you know, Google, like you said, hey, what's the best paintbrush to use? You know, so I was just putting it out there. And so just stacking the blogs up. And I thought no one would ever use them except Google would, you know, if someone would type in, I have a blue heron problem in my pond, hopefully my blog would get some kind of, you know, traction and direct them to me. But, you know, it's, some people like to read, some people like to watch video, some people like to listen to podcasts. And so, you know, you kind of got to hit it all in those different areas.
Yeah, that's huge. Cause, I know you and I both are, you know, through the years been, you know, fans of Gary V and stuff, you know, the amount that I've learned from him is crazy. You just, number one, the importance of consistency, right? Just keep fucking showing up. And then the second thing for me is probably just been the value, just being yourself. And, you know, I remember him talking one time about, it might've been in his book, Crush It or something, or maybe it was a video. I don't remember, but he talked about, if he's a real estate agent, he's got this piece of shit house he's got to sell.
Yeah.
You know, most realtors are going, you know, just need some TLC and, you know, shit like that. And they're blowing smoke. He's like, I'd grab my video camera. I'd stand in front of this thing and I'd have it behind me. And I would go something to the extent of, hey, listen, I'm selling this house on Main Street. And let's be honest, it's a piece of crap.
Yeah.
But check this out. And then he spans the neighborhood and the boulevard with the mature trees. And he's like, you know, so if you're somebody who has a lot of vision, has a pile of money to renovate a place in a beautiful area, this would probably be a pretty cool house for you. Yeah. Like he just addressed the elephant in the room. And I think you and I both do a pretty good job of that, you know, and I've seen massive results in everything. I mean, I coach a number of people who they'll go live on Facebook and they'll go, yeah, you know, one of the things I hate most about, say they're a painter or I don't know, or landscaper. One of the things I hate most about landscape contractors is we do this. Like they just address it. And it could be like, we don't return phone calls and it's crazy and it's ridiculous. And they, give their take on it. And I think that just builds way more trust. So, so dude, you talked about, you do a video, your wife would like take some notes, she'd write a blog that kind of addresses in some ways the where I was going to go next was this time thing. Cause I hear, I don't know what to do. I've never done this before. And then the other bullshit excuse is I don't have time.
Yeah.
So walk us through your approach to this. Cause you still work in the field. You still do a lot of stuff, you know, that you're passionate about. You run the business, you're doing content. So I don't think you have more hours in the day than anybody else. So I'm just curious what your mindset is when you approach this, I don't have time thing, or, you know, how do you work this all into your day?
You know, I mean, I love doing this shit. So that's important. You know, if you don't really love doing what you're doing, then, you know, it's hard to create the time for that. You would rather do something that you love doing. So, you know, if someone likes to do something different than what their actual job is, it just becomes a problem, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, on a Saturday and Sunday, I'm still thinking about ponds. I'm still thinking about fish. I'm feeding my own fish because I just like that stuff. So I think that is, you know, critical at the moment right there. I mean, too many people are doing shit they don't love. And so it's hard to create the content. One thing that I think is important is they spend too much time overthinking what the content's going to be. So, you know, there's so many things that you know about painting or now about coaching, about business and stuff that is assumed knowledge to you. And so, you know, a simple fact is like, hey, I assume that everyone knows that this is the easiest way to catch fish because, you know, I do it all the time. I've been doing it for 10, 15 years this way. That's how I catch fish. But, you know, hand a net to someone who's never caught a fish before and they don't know what to do. They're chasing the fish around. They're smacking into the walls. You know, they're stressing the fish out. But it's like if you just come in with the right angle, the fish, you know, just are easy to catch. And so I think that's an important factor just because you know it and it seems so second nature to you. The rest of the world doesn't, they don't know that. And so assumed knowledge is really critical. I found that out just in doing like live stories. Where I like to share a lot of my content is on stories. I did it on Snapchat for like 4 years and now I'm heavily doing it on Instagram. And so I can document little things throughout my day and I get feedback instantly from people. So I'm like, hey, here's a pond pro tip today. This is how I'm going to catch this fish. And then I get 30 messages that are like, oh my God, I didn't know. I've been chasing my fish the wrong way for all these years. And so it's that assumed knowledge, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you have to have, if I was a one man show, it'd be a lot harder to do this. But 20 years ago, I was a one man show. Mm-hmm. So people need to realize that they go like, oh, well you have, you know, employees to help do the work and you have, you know, your wife helps you. And oh, you have, you know, I was doing this when I didn't have a wife. I was doing this when I didn't have, you know, a crew. I was doing this when I didn't have a podcast editor, you know, so it's just incrementally, you gotta, you know, stay consistent and you'll get it to grow.
When did you start the content stuff? How many years ago?
Probably 2010 or 2008, somewhere around 2008, probably. Yeah. I mean, 2006, we were still, you know, you're still reading magazines, you know,
yeah.
You didn't have an iPhone yet. Right. So 2008 is when I started the YouTube channel and then it just kind of grew from there. That was really an anchor for me.
You know, it's funny. It sounds like you were one of those, because when did YouTube come out? Was it like 04, 06?
I think it was 06, between 06 and 08 right there.
Yeah. I wish I could, like, you're going, yeah, I jumped on YouTube and got a channel. Dude, I wasn't that forward thinking. You know, it's so funny. Like, I was not one of those people that was like, oh, look at this platform with this huge opportunity, you know? Mm-hmm.
With 100% transparency,
yeah.
Neither was I. a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, and you know, he probably helped shape, you know, who I am today, because he gave me a platform to talk on. He said, "Dude, let's film some YouTube videos." And I told him, "No, I'm like, yeah. No, I don't have time for that shit." And he's like, "You know, he's a 6'3", you know, 290-pound German guy."
Yeah,
he's like, "Eric, I shoot film. You build pond, or I crush you." You know, yeah. I'm like, okay, dude, let's do it, you know? And, you know, thank God he did, because I'd really have fun, you know, sharing content and teaching people. And I had no idea that it would, you know, turn into what it did.
Yeah, you know, it's, I guess this is why they call it wisdom, right? You get older and you get wiser. And now I look back and I'm like, holy shit, what kind of empire could we all have built if we really understood what we had back in 2006 when this shit started?
Yeah.
You know? And I think, you know, my buddy Chris Berry, he's Paint Life TV, the Idaho painter. You know, he's been on here before and stuff. He's got 300 and something thousand subscribers. It blows up his painting business in Idaho. He's got speaking gigs and endorsements, and he sells products, and it's crazy. And he's one of those guys that really dug into it back in the day. And I remember seeing him before I knew him, it'd be like, how to clean out a paint roller. And I'd be like, who the fuck's going to go on YouTube and look for that? Like, that was me. I was the asshole going.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's got 13 million views probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the assumed knowledge right there. Exactly what I'm talking about. You assume everyone knows how to do that, but you know, 13 million people look it up.
Well, yeah, I'm pulling his thing up right now. Actually, let me tell you. Let's see his.
Welcome to our channel, Paint Life TV. I'm Chrissy. I know.
All right, so he's got 313 thousand subscribers. So check this out here. Top video, almost 2 million views. Painting straight lines. Second one, how to roll walls fast. Tips on painting a room in 1 hour, DIY. How to paint ceilings fast and like a professional. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Cutting in tips.
Yeah.
Oh, he does product reviews of sprayers and how to stain a deck.
What's the name of his channel again?
It's Paint Life TV, the Idaho painter. And so this is funny, because this whole assumed knowledge thing that you've brought up a couple times, this is exactly, and if you, just like you, Eric, and Chris here, and other people that have bigger channels and stuff, they'll all tell you that when somebody Googles your name or your company or whatever, and you've been at this a while, I mean, I look at content. I've always looked at creating content, whether it's blogs, videos, all the stuff that we do. To me, it's like compound interest over time.
Mm-hmm.
That by the time, you know, somebody Googles your name, you know, let's just say, you know, they Google the Pond Digger, right? And they're going to find videos. They're going to find your website. You're not going to be like some schmo, you know, without any sort of online fingerprint. And just the fact that you jump on something like this and you go, holy cow, look at all this stuff this guy has out here. I really believe there's a mental shift in the consumer where they're like, yeah, this guy's the real deal. He knows what he's doing. And so trust is immediately built.
Yeah, the trust factor is huge. But I got to pause you there for a second, because you talked about compound interest. And you might find this shocking, but without looking at my channel, when do you think the last YouTube video I put out is? Make a guess.
Month.
3 years. I haven't put out a YouTube video in 3 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. But not a whole lot of people realize that unless they're really diehard Pond Digger fans. And they're like, Eric, what the hell's going on? What the heck's going on? When are you going to put out a new video? Can you do that on a series? I want it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I haven't put out a video in 3 years. You know how much work I sold this year from my YouTube channel? Like, hey, I saw you on YouTube. I would like for you to build a pond for me.
No idea.
A couple hundred grand.
Yeah. And we're in June right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, just from YouTube, like, hey, how'd you hear about us? Oh, I saw you on YouTube. And that's just from my construction side. You know, like, I still have a whole, you know, part of my business that supports DIY consumers. And, you know, they call me up for design assistance, and, you know, they want to buy my Helix, you know, equipment, and they purchase gear from me. So, I mean, the compound interest is absolutely insane. And so the fact that I haven't put out any content on YouTube, I still put out content regularly on all these different platforms, but YouTube specifically, it's been 3 years. I still make money.
Okay.
Damn, man. That's awesome. That's a great lesson. 'Cause that right there, this is one of the big reasons why it makes sense to create content, because it's evergreen. It just lives out there.
Yeah.
And you never know. And probably, dude, if you went to your Google Analytics, there's probably a damn good percentage of your traffic every month that comes in, you know, because they found you on YouTube.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, if any contractors or that are listening to this right now and take one piece of advice home, I mean, that's it. You know, it's an evergreen thing. I mean, and when we shot those videos, you know, when we made their titles and the way we filmed them so they would be timeless. They're not like, hey, it's 2014 and we're over at the such and such show. And like, you know, like we really made these timeless videos. And in 10 years from now, they still are going to be watched, you know, how to build a koi pond, how to build a, you know, a bird fountain, how to do this. Those videos will still be getting traffic.
All right, fighters, $100,000 a year is not too much to ask. Listen, when our parents were younger, 100 grand was a lot of money. When I was growing up, 100 grand was a lot of money. Today, it's barely enough to get by in America, especially if you're a business owner. You got a lot of responsibilities. Everyone's got a handout, man. You got your subs, your employees, your vendors, your customers, your family, the doctor, your lawyer, the IRS, the state. Everybody wants a piece of the damn action. And quite frankly, the bills are never going to stop. Okay. Sadly, most contractors just think I got to work harder and harder and harder and harder to make more money. Yet you're putting in all this time, putting in all this effort, and you're wondering why am I still at 50, 60, 75 grand a year when I'm working my ass off. Listen, that's where I wanted to share with you guys a resource that we have, a kick-ass program called the 100K Contractor. Guys, this program is designed to do just that. It's to get you as a contractor business owner to at least $100,000 a year in personal income. All right. So I want to just share this domain with you guys because listen, at the end of the day, you deserve it. Your family deserves it. It's time we quit stealing from our families. We've got a lot of cool stuff inside the 100K Contractor. So if you go to thecontractorfight.com/100K-contractor. You can see what we got going on. We've got a couple of videos where things get explained and get you guys set up on the right path toward your 100K personal income. You guys rock. You know, Alan Decker, I had Alan Decker on the show a few months ago and he's another pond guy. And it's funny, Alan is now just starting like recently right now, just getting his YouTube thing going.
Right.
He's been big on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
And he'll just pull his camera out on jobs and go, hey guys, you got to check this thing out, you know? And he's just being a dude, you know? And that drives crazy amounts of revenue to his business every year, just because he pulls his camera out and he's like, hey, showing people what's going on. All right. You got a contractor. He's listening to this. He's like, yeah, I got to get off my ass with, you know, video or social media or something here, right? Mm-hmm. What, you know, maybe he's a one man show. If you can go back in the Wayback Machine, know what you know now, and you still have the knowledge of what we have now, right? So mm-hmm. you're like yeah. you're totally set up to win here, right? what do you tell that guy of what to do first, how to get started in building his brand and all that shit on social, and that's going to help him win in the long run?
So, I do believe stories in Instagram and not so much Facebook. I know Facebook has the stories, possibility, but I don't think it gets as much traffic and it's not as user friendly as Instagram. But, you know, being on that live story time thing is my favorite thing by far to do. And, you begin interacting with a community. I mean, I've created a community on my Instagram page and, you know, I don't have 40,000-50,000 followers on Instagram, but I do have, you know, 1,000 people a day that watch my story. And so, you know, 1,000 people a day, like that's like speaking to an auditorium every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. If you could go into an auditorium and speak to 1,000 people, you know, what would you say? And would they come back tomorrow? And so it just astonishes me that I still get that kind of draw on a daily basis. And I just share whatever I'm doing. If I fuck something up, guess what? I'm going to share it on story time, you know, on the, on my stories, and I'm going to show how I fix it. I'm going to show that, you know, the trials and tribulations. If I just, you know, it's not always rainbows and unicorns. So I do share those things and how I overcome those things. And I think it's a good platform because then you get comfortable in front of the camera, you know, yeah. And you don't have to, some people are like, I don't look good on camera. I feel nervous. Well, start your stories, you know, your live things and show just your work. You don't have to put your face on there. You can go, hey, look, this is a waterfall we built today. And this is why I set the rocks this way, because it looks good. Or, you know, this is why I didn't do that. And, you know, so just being consistent, if you did a little bit daily, you're going to get more comfortable. You're going to do more. You're going to get people feedback. And then that'll start to grow. And then so it's interesting because, you know, that consistency creates comfort. And with that comfort creates, you know, your mind opens up a little bit more and it becomes easier to do. You know, like I haven't put out a podcast since February. And, you know, when I was putting out, you know, 4 or 5 podcasts a month, the topics were really fluid and they just, you know, came to me and I would just mm-hmm. press record and I would love the content that came out. And because of some hiccups that I had in February, I just, you know, put it on a shelf and I haven't done it. And so now I'm like, I got to get going. What am I going to talk about? How am I going to make it work? How can it be valuable? And so I'm in a little, I would, you know, be transparent here again. I feel like I'm in a little rut on my podcast episodes because, you know, I'm not doing it consistently. So, you know, that's just, you got to do it, you know, regularly.
I tell you, I so much relate currently because I'm coming out of a total content rut like right now, like okay. In about the last week and a half, I've gotten my mojo back, mm-hmm. but dude, and I think what happened is this is funny. This is kind of like a different business leadership, whatever lesson, but I'm a fan of outsourcing, man. And I outsource everything. If I ain't good at it, I don't do it. And for some reason, over the past couple months, I started doing some things on my own in my business that my assistant usually does. Mm-hmm. Honestly, cause I'm impatient.
Yeah.
It'd be like 10 o'clock at night and I'd think of something and I'd start doing it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not talking like I'm ripping on her that she doesn't know what she's doing. I'm impatient. I'm like, yeah. I'll just do it. I got some time. And I got out of my routine. I got out of my routine of, you know, time blocking, you know, I do big chunks of time to record video, but even before that, I have to time block the better part of a day. And I know that sounds like a lot to people, but I have to get in the mental flow and kind of, I don't script videos and podcasts at all, but I put thoughts down for each thing that I'm doing, like almost little bullet points.
Yeah.
And those guide me. And I have that usually in front of me when I'm recording or something. Well, dude, long story short is the combination of me just kind of doing shit in my own business that I shouldn't be doing. And I got out of my routine of time blocking my preparation time. And then I got out of the habit of, time blocking the recording time. And now part of that was the whole Corona thing, the whole COVID. Cause you know, my guy Noel, you know, he comes here and we were just kind of like, so I was just started recording shit on my iPhone and I'd send it to him. And then it's a pain in the ass. Make a long story short, I totally get where you're coming from here and why it's so easy to get out of our groove with this stuff. And so just the other day, you know, he came by, we recorded 6 videos. This Wednesday, we're recording 6 more. And then following Friday, we're recording like 6 or 8 more, you know, because I'm finally back in my groove. And I had a meeting with my team. You know, we do a Zoom call every week. And I was like, guys, I'm sorry. I've been stepping on your toes and doing your fucking jobs. And now you got to do shit over. And so, dude, it's just funny that, you know, you're like, yeah, I haven't done a YouTube video in a while. Yeah, I haven't done my podcast in a while. So I want people to know that we're not always on.
Right.
You know, you got to fight through this shit. And for me, it's routine. If I'm not in a routine with this, then I just have a really hard time getting, and I need chunks of time to get my head right around the topic. Like you were saying with, you know, when you were doing more podcasts, they became easier to do.
Right. Just like your next six videos are going to come to you real easy because you're already in that groove. You already got that mojo going. I want to circle back real quick because you said something about like, you know, how can the contractors get started on this? I mean, I'm circling back to stories because by far it is my favorite thing to do because those stories, you know, become stepping stones to videos. They become stepping stones to blogs and to, they become stepping stones to your customers. But they're like literally 10 seconds or 11 seconds to 60 second snapshots. And so a lot of times when you just go, hey, I'm going to record a video and you push play and all of a sudden you're like, you're talking for 9 minutes on the video and you're like, you're not, it's kind of like you're all over the place. It's not right. Right. But if you're like, okay, what can I say in 60 seconds that makes sense in this, in teaching someone something or telling something or showing my business. And then that 60 seconds is over and it's like a cut. And now you got it. Okay. Now what am I going to say? I want to make this thoughtful because I got 60 seconds to say something. And then you, you can do another 60 second increment and then post it to the story feed. And then it just becomes a more thoughtful approach. So it's like takes this huge elephant and like, you're going down to just the tail and going, okay, let's build the tail. Okay. Let's build the butt. Let's build a leg, you know? And so that's why I think stories is so fun to me.
So there are some people listening to this going, yeah, but how is that going to help me get customers right now, Eric?
It takes a decade. I mean, you're not going to do a freaking a 60 second video and then just like the phone's going to be ringing off the hook. It just takes time.
Yeah.
You don't build an empire by shooting a 60-second video.
Yeah, and I will acknowledge this. A lot of times people will they'll seriously message me and they'll be like, you never talk about like paid ads and SEO and shit like that. I'm like, well, number one, I've had a few of those guys on here and I believe in it. But I also know that most, how do I say this really nice? I don't need to be nice. It's my show. So most contractors don't have any fucking money because they undercharge. They don't know how to sell, right? True. They don't know how to run a job profitably. So they're only making 50 grand a year and their debt is climbing and they don't have bags of money. That's why I pound this social media shit and video stuff so much because it's fucking free.
Yeah.
Like it's virtually free other than your time. So when guys are like, well, I don't have any leads and I don't have any money to market and stuff, I'm like, well, have you lifted a finger to fucking build your brand with the free resources? And if not, get your damn head out of your ass now. And I'm all for, if you, you know, if you got money to invest into marketing and SEO and some paid ads and things like that, and you have your shit together where you track your lead sources and your, you know, which you should be anyway. And you know, where do most of my sales dollars, where's my profit come from? What lead source and this and that. And if it's a lead source, I'll just throw it out there. If it's a paid Google ad that leads to 65% of our gross profit every year, then guess what? I'm putting more fucking money into Google ads.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, I just talk so much about content because number one, it's free. Number two, like we talked about before, it lives here forever. You're not, you know, if you don't pay Google, they don't run the ad. You know what I mean? You don't pay the billboard company. They don't put the billboard up every month. And so what I love about this is you can be thoughtful. You can solve problems. You can add value to people and it's always going to be out there and it compounds over time.
100%.
So recently, I want to just acknowledge you publicly here, man. You've been a member of our Contractor Sales Academy Bridge program for a while. When'd you join? Was it like December?
Yeah, I think I checked. I thought it was January, but turns out I joined in December and, you know, right before Christmas and kind of watched what was going on and I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, we have several hundred members in there and all different walks of life and trades and things like that, seasons of business. And we have this belt system, you know, it's all based on the number of role plays that you do because we're really big in role plays. I'm just trying to give people the broad view here. And you just, I don't know, a month ago or so hit your black belt. Was that a month or more? Probably more now. What do you got to do to be a black belt, man?
You gotta do role plays, and role plays is basically, for those that don't know what that is, it's you know, basically having a conversation with another member as a client and a contractor, and actually learn how to talk to clients and how to listen to clients. And so, you know, you have a practice phone call with another member. He acts as a contractor to the client, and then you just have the conversation about, you know, hey, can you build the pond or can you paint my house? And you learn how to actually communicate really well with your clients. And so I thought it was astonishing when I really, you know, figured out how this all works. And I, you know, for 20 years, I've been, you know, communicating to my clients poorly. Now I say that with reservation because I think I've built a good business. I think my clients do like me. I just feel like, damn, if I could have just known how to talk to my customers, you know, easier instead of doing all the talking and actually do some more listening, you know, I could have probably been further along in my empire and everything. So basically I did 200 role plays. You know, it's a lot of work. But I found it really interesting and so dove into it.
Yeah, I've been blessed to watch this thing from day one when Steve and I started it. And like I've shared before, it's turned into something way different than I ever thought it was going to be. It's become more of a communication school,
yeah,
than anything, which helps you not just in sales, but in every area of life. I mean, you've seen, you know, the hundreds of posts where guys are like, you know, holy crap, this, you know, I'm applying this stuff in different areas of my life and it's like making my relationships better, or I solved a problem with a customer with it. You know, just because I learned, like you said, to just listen better and really understand where people are coming from. And mm-hmm. I think that's a big thing. The reason I want to bring it up is just number one, give you a pat on the back, man. Cause not, I mean, 200 role plays, is a lot of role plays. And I know you've been building upon that too, because you're also reaching down and helping other members, you know, come up to that level as well, which is awesome. But most of us think, you know, I always thought I was a good salesman because I could talk to people.
Right.
And that's like the furthest from the truth. Like, yeah, you got to be like shit like that.
I can't believe it. Yeah.
It's a skill that can be developed. It's a skill that can be learned. And like you, I look back on my life and I'm like, wow, if I were really applying this stuff for you know, 25 years, damn.
I feel sorry for some of my past customers that I just tortured them and they talk so much. You know, I feel like, you know, I probably could have made a better impact with a lot of the ponds that I built over the past 20 years if I would have listened more. I mean, I think I didn't build a good product for someone that gave them a tremendous amount of value, but damn, I should have shut my mouth a little bit more and listened. I think I would have been better at this, man.
I remember this one sales appointment I was on when I first started painting a million years ago, and I'm standing there and I remember it like it was yesterday. I don't know why. I've always remembered this appointment, probably because I was such an idiot. And it was dark out, it was winter time in the Chicago area where I lived at the time, and I just remember we're standing in this hallway and I'm giving her this song and dance about why our company is so amazing. And I said, I was talking about our quality and all this other shit. And I look at the wall and I see, like, you know, sometimes when you paint, you don't defuzz the roller, the fibers stick to the wall.
Yeah.
You see them on there. It's just kind of ugly looking. Right. And there's this blob of roller lint on the painted wall. Uh-huh. And I said something like, and for instance, whoever painted this wall had no pride in what they were doing or something like that. And she goes, I painted that wall. and it's just funny because, like you said, I feel bad for some of the people that stood there and listened to me run my fucking mouth so much. Absolutely. And it was torturous for them.
I think that I have an important point to make right here on exactly what you're talking about, because that was, how long ago was that? 15 years ago?
Yeah, easily.
Okay. Yep. So listen, 15 years ago, we had to create our own social proof. Unless you had money to do a billboard or you had, you know, websites weren't even that great 15 years ago. You know, they were just coming out. People weren't using them. They were still calling, you know, your phone number. And so when you got out there, I think by default, you had to like tell people how cool you were, how much you helped the community, how much, you know, how long you've been in business and how, you know, how much your team members are so important. And I think that was just ingrained into a contractor to have to do that stuff. However, in today's day and age, with content creation, with social media, with the way people are using websites today, you know, if you do it correctly, the social proof is already there. The people already know you. They already know you're excellent. They already know you helped the community. They already want to work with you. And then, you know, if you still are in that old school mentality and you show up and you start bragging about yourself, they're like, dude, shut the fuck up. We already know this. We already know you're great. We already know you have a YouTube channel. Just listen to me. And so I can tell you what I would like to get out of this project. That's what needs to happen nowadays. You need to break the mold.
I love how you tied all that together, because that's so true. It's like, you know, hey, how'd you find us? Oh, we saw you on, you know, YouTube. Oh, what video did you like the best? Or what were some of the things that you really liked about the channel? Now it's conversational. Now you're asking questions.
Yeah.
And they're going to be talking to you. Or even if you don't have a YouTube channel, the sales process would be like, yeah, we found you on Google, and you know, or our neighbor referred you to us. Oh, really? What what was it about, you know, what your neighbor shared that made you want to pick the phone up and call us?
Yeah.
You know, they said you were really neat and you were really this and you're really that. And like, and they're now building the case because you shut your mouth. God, it, you know, like the number of people I tortured through the years in the sales process is just
me too, man. It's awful. My poor, poor clients. I owe so much to them, you know. You know, because nowadays I was going to say, I mean, I've, you know, we'll get on a phone call and, you know, by the time I start listening and actually talking to the client, they're like, hey, I checked you out on Yelp. You have great reviews. I went to your website. I saw the YouTube channel. I checked out your Instagram and saw how much fun you guys are on the job. I've done this. I've done that. You don't need to talk about yourself anymore, because if you put the content out correctly, that is doing its job. And then you can just focus on, you know, how you can help the client.
Yeah, the content is truly your sales weapon.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's an old saying, I forget who it was, but like your marketing is, you know, if you think of the game of golf, your marketing is like you driving the ball.
I like that. I like that.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, your effectiveness of it, if you're really good at it, like you just described all these different channels, by the time you get to the sales process, it's a short 3-inch putt because the ball's right next to the hole.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect analogy. It's awesome.
Yeah, I wish I could claim it, but it was somebody else. I don't know. I can't be brilliant at everything, Eric. Jeez. Well,
speaking of that, yeah. I do want to publicly throw this back around to you. You know, you've been a nice inspiration to me. I mean, you definitely, you know, helped my business. I mean, I've been watching you since the Water Garden Expo. I watched you struggle through the Strongpreneur thing, and you know, that was painful. I got to admit, you know, the name was terrible, but
yep.
You know, I've really watched you over the years, and, you know, so for some reason, whatever, your personality has really, you know, resonated with me. And it's been fun to watch you evolve from the Strongpreneur into the contractor fight. And even I feel like I've watched you, I watched the change in you in the contractor fight. I mean, I saw you be kind of like, how do I say this? You know, like trying to appeal to a lot of people and pressure them. And then I saw you get, you know, a little bit harder, a little bit meaner, like really go, you know what? I need to just be myself. And if I'm going to be pissed at you, you're going to hear it about it. And I saw that kind of change. And, you know, I'm really thankful that I ran into you. I really am. You've definitely changed the way I run my business. And I want to thank you for that publicly.
Well, I appreciate that, man. You know, and it's funny, there's, you know, there's been a lot of things over the past several years personally that I've been on a road trip with, you know, and as you know, everything in your life blends together, work and business and things like that. And, you know, I think what's cool, what I super appreciate about you bringing up, certainly I appreciate you saying that, but like, when you hit record, when you decide to start writing a blog, when you record a podcast or a video or whatever it is, and you just stick with it, there's a lot of it that helps you kind of find your real voice. And and for many years, I was trying to figure this thing out, and I was going, who am I going to be? And like you said, I was trying to, I don't want to say I was like being duplicitous, but there was a part of me that I was holding back.
Yeah. I saw it.
Yeah, I know you saw it. And I'll tell you what, the greatest gift for me has been freedom, just in the sense of just being me. And again, I want to encourage people, like, be yourself. You know, you're going to do a video. I would love to see more contractors. I'll tell you what, I told somebody this the other day. I said, do a video series. If you're a kitchen remodeler, do a video series on, you know, seven videos or three videos or however many things it is, you know, the seven top things that piss me off about kitchen and bath remodelers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just be like, you know, listen, the number one thing out of the gate that pisses me off is the way we communicate with people, you know?
I love that. You know, the thing for me is I've done a couple things like that. I mean, we have a Pond's Gone Wrong video series.
Yeah.
And, I don't call anybody's name out, like who did it, but I mean, my community is fairly small as far as contractors go. I mean, there's probably, you know, tens of thousands of painting contractors in my area, but there's not that many pond guys. So, you know, if I find myself doing that, which I've done, and they've been incredibly effective to drive clients to me, that can piss people off in a smaller niche. But, you know, I mean, if you're tactful about it and just throw it out there and don't call anybody out and just go, this is what pisses me off. Look what this contractor screwed up. This is how I'm going to fix it. And it builds trust. It builds rapport. It does create a warning report, if you will, for, you know, your potential clients. Like, hey, if I hire the wrong contractor, I could really get screwed over. So what you're saying right there has been incredibly effective for my business.
You know, I had this job I sold long ago. It was a paint project, and the lady just couldn't get over why we were so much more money, even though she really wanted to use us. Right. And had I been a better salesperson, it probably would have gone differently than the way I'm going to share it. But at one point I remember saying to her, and this was back in the day that we had, we used to carry a binder with all the nice things people would say and testimonials. And, you know, we all had our binders and our photos and shit like that way back in the day, before we had social media and the internet the way it is. And I said to her, whatever her name was, I said, hey, would it make sense if I showed you the reviews from five people that we totally screwed up their projects?
Wow.
She was like, what? And I totally flipped it. And I went to this one. I said, yeah, this lady here, the first job that we did for her, we got paint on her window treatments and on one window treatment in this room. And I'm like, you know, the plastic fell off. We were rolling the ceiling or whatever. I don't know. And a little drip of paint got on it. And so we went to clean it and it didn't come out. You know, so we paid for the cleaning, wouldn't come out. I said, okay, just order a new one. Well, they discontinued them.
Oh shit.
They don't make them anymore. And these were nice window treatments. And I said, when all was said and done, we bought all new window treatments for the room because, you know, that was on us. And I said, she's gone on to hire us three or four more times. I went to another one. I'm like, yeah, this one here, we stained this beautiful $10,000 custom bar in this guy's basement. I walked down to the basement and I thought we could do better work than that. And he was like, he didn't love it. And so we stripped it and I worked personally on the job and we did it and blah, blah, blah. And he loves it. It looks amazing. I showed different pictures of it and this. So dude, I just went through and I shared just transparency, right? Like I think there came a time in my business where I'm like, you know what? We're never going to be perfect. And if any contractor ever tells you they do perfect work or it's going to be perfect experience. Yeah. They're full of shit. It's really, how are you going to, you know, certainly prevent some of those things, but how are you going to respond on the back end when shit does go wrong? Yeah. And I found that openness with people goes a long way, especially on social. I've seen some guys do it really well that get on camera and they're like, man, we totally screwed the pooch on this thing, but this is how we're going to fix it.
That's cool. I love that. I love that story.
So, dude, if people want to learn more about you and what you got going on and check you out, that maybe that somebody's listening, they want to have you on their show or whatever. How do they reach out to you? What's the best way, man?
I mean, I'm the Pondigger on all the social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the Pondigger. And then, you know, people are more than welcome to email me. It's eric@thepondigger.com. It's Eric with a C. It's pretty simple. And yeah, I'm out there pretty active on all these channels.
Anything else that you want contractors to hear? This is kind of your one. Any more soapbox moments here you got for people? If you could wave a magic wand type stuff, what would you change about the average contractor or whatever's going on? What do you got?
You know, you gotta love what you want. I mean, if you're not loving what you're doing, you know, find something you love, because that's where all the magic happens. You know, that's where the real magic happens. And the Contractor Sales Academy has been, you know, it's been a real pleasure. And I feel like I'm a better, you know, communicator because of it. And I'm so thankful that my clients get to experience a better me. And you know, that's about it.
Well, dude, I appreciate that, man. And it was awesome getting you on here on the fight here today. We'll get all the stuff in the show notes for the Pondigger. Everybody listening to this, give us a rating. If you can, share this with another contractor and, you know, trust Eric on this social stuff, guys, and do what he says, because he'll, you know, he's doing some really great things and knows the game well. And it's the long game. It's the long play for me, which is why I love social media and all that stuff. So anyway, you guys rock. It's time to roll. Travis, bring in the guitars. We'll talk to you guys next time on The Fight.
Want some fight swag to wear? Simply share this episode of The Contractor Fight anywhere on Facebook or Instagram using the hashtag #JoinTheFight, and our team will pick one winner each week to recognize your help in spreading the fight message.